All right. Okay. I think these monitors will be off, right, Cole? They'll be off, right? No, I don't want any. I want to stand over here because I'll have some verses up there. And I don't want to stand in front of them, right? So, welcome. We have been in a series entitled Making All Things New. And we have a sort of a home base verse that we went over the first Sunday. It's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things, they've passed away. They're done with. Behold, all things have become new. New things have come. And so our series is sort of intent on trying to isolate and enumerate what are those new parts of our identity in Christ. What is it? It's the part of us that is eternal, that is changed. We have a spirit in us that is eternal. It'll go on forever, either in heaven or in hell. Nothing could be more important to grapple with. But it's in that spirit that we have been made new. And actually, this part of us, Ephesians 2 says, was dead. Tim said last week it was unresponsive. That is the part of us that has been brought to life. How could this not be tremendously life-changing? How could it not? But we get stuck. We get stuck in our Christian lives. Sometimes we just think about things that used to be in our lives and we go back there again and again and again. Maybe your favorite brand of sin, a besetting sin that's hard to overcome, lying, cheating, stealing, immorality, whatever yours was, get sucked back there sometimes. Or sometimes the opposite can happen. We get proud. I'm so successful outwardly. That's not where the newness has taken place. But I wanted to pull out another illustration this morning. I'm glad Josh is here. He'll be able to participate with this. I want to bring out another illustration of changed identity. So my question here this morning is, who here knows who Kurt Warner is? Josh! Oh, okay. What can you tell me about him? Anybody? He what? He was a quarterback. Oh, there he is. Yeah, that's Kurt Warner. What else? He was a quarterback. Jonathan. How did you remember that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I'm glad you brought that up. What else, Josh? Luke. Yes. Water Barnstorm. Very good. That's right. All right. Could I have just a little more light? Thank you. Kurt Warner was originally drafted. No. He was originally signed by the Green Bay Packers as an undrafted free agent in 1994 after playing college football at Northern Iowa. Warner went on to be considered the best undrafted NFL player of all time. After a 12-year career, he was regarded as one of the greatest stories in NFL history. Josh was saying he's been to a number of Super Bowls. He won Super Bowl 34. He was the MVP of Super Bowl 34. He had at least 100 touchdown passes for two different teams, the Rams and the Cardinals. He was the first quarterback to throw three touchdown passes in each of his first three games. Wow. He still holds the top three passing records for the Super Bowl games. Still holds it. So my question here this morning, I could read you more statistics, But two of you, I'm really surprised by this, that two of you brought up that he worked for Hy-Vee. Because that was my question to you. Do you think he ever thinks about going back to being a night stockman for $5.50 an hour at Hy-Vee? Of course not. Of course not. His life has dramatically changed. And he will never go back to thinking that he ought to go back to that spot. Now that's the outward side of him. He knows, and we know, that that is not his identity. He has successes, but that does not define, it does not identify who Kurt Warner is. His ultimate identity is as a child of God. And he proudly displays his faith whenever he gets a chance. Actually, did you know this? It's very possible that somebody from Stonebrook Community Church shared the gospel with him. Kurt and Brenda attended Stonebrook Community Church, where this church is planted from, for a short while. And I remember Pat at least visited the Barnstormers. I believe he shared with him. So that is just, that's just too cool. I'm just only wanted to bring this up, this success up, to illustrate what it is like to leave one life for another life and to have it be so profound that you never want to go back to the way your life was. And this is what this message is about, what this series is about. God has brought into being something that just didn't exist before, Ephesians 2 says. We were dead. It did not exist. Our relationship with God, we were unresponsive to. He brought you from death to life in the most significant part of your being, your soul. This is incredible. The change is both significant and eternal, and you will never, through all of eternity, you will never again think of yourself according to your career. It won't make any difference. You'll never think about yourself any longer according to the status that you have in this world, in this life. Never again. You will think of yourself according to every good deed that God put in front of you to do. Ephesians 2, Luke was sharing that a few weeks ago, that God has prepared good deeds for us to walk in. He's already set it up for us. And when we simply say, God, I want you to do this in my life. I want you to do this through my life. That's our identity. That will be displayed for eternity because it doesn't bring credit to us. It brings credit to the one who set this up. To him will be all glory. You will gain an inheritance, 1 Peter says, that is imperishable. And it's an inheritance that is undefiled. There is nothing wrong with it. Not the slightest bit. And it also doesn't fade. Throughout the eons of eternity, it won't fade. That is you if you're in Christ. That is who you are in Christ. God made you for it. God planned it for you. And he set up life for you to display these things. And he is going to reward every deed that you did in faith. This is pretty good. Today, I want to focus on just one word in your challenge verses laying around you someplace there. Ephesians 1, 3 is our challenge verse. The challenge verse means that you are challenged to look this over numerous times through the week. And our thought is that if you look it over often enough, you'll end up basically memorizing it, but the heart of it is to be able to meditate on it and bring back to mind its value. So let's read this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The verses that follow itemize what some of those blessings are, and we've kind of been focusing on those week by week, some of the spiritual blessings that God has prepared for us. But there's something that I want to focus on this morning is, and it's the heart of God to give to you everything he's got. Every spiritual blessing. This is incredible. Basically, you know, I think what God is saying here is that he's not holding back a single thing from you. And you think, well, I'm not experiencing that, maybe you think. I don't feel like I have everything. Well, hang on, hang on. We will, as we move through this series, next week I think will be extremely important. I hope you can make it next week because we want to move from this week. This is very important that we tangle with and agree that we have been given every spiritual blessing like God said. But next week we want to get into how does it work? How do I get any handles on it? You know, things that are spiritual are kind of hard sometimes to get a hold of because they're just unseen. We have trouble conceptualizing something that's unseen in a way that moves us. And I was reminded that later in this chapter, from this verse, Paul prayed a prayer for the Ephesians church, and he prayed that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened in order to be able to understand the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. This prayer was recorded in Scripture. It'll be there for eternity. So I think it'd be good for us to pray here. I've got to do that this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father. I just read this week that Jesus, you said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Father, I ask for the work of your Holy Spirit in each heart here this morning. I pray you'd convince us these things are true. I pray you'd convince us of your heart toward us in a way that we will be encouraged to seek you out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I quoted that verse there from Ephesians 1, Paul's prayer, maybe some of you felt like, you know, looking into a fog. It's kind of obscure. What is that talking about? What is the hope of his calling? What is that referring to? Sometimes the meaning is obscure and it just doesn't grab us, but that's why Paul prayed the prayer. We are not alone in finding some of these things kind of obscure. That's why Paul prayed that our heart eyes would be enlightened, because it takes the revelation of God to be able to understand these things. He's praying for the hope of his calling for them. He's praying for them that they would understand the hope of his calling. What it means, the word hope in that use means a confident expectation of some of the good things that God has for us. Like we were relating earlier, the rewards that are standing in front of us, day by day by day by day, laying up treasures day by day by day. Every day, a believer has an opportunity to add to his account the hope of his calling. It's like the confidence, you know, having getting a handle on the hope of his calling is like the confidence we have in flipping a light switch. We just know the light will come on. We can't see the electrons. We know it'll come on. It always does. That's why I'm confident. Unless there's a light burned out or power's out or something. But 99% of the time, you flip a switch, the light comes on. God wants us to be more sure than that. He is more dependable than light bulbs and electricity. He made them. Hebrews says it this way. God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love you've shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience, endurance, hang in there. God is a rewarder. You can't come to know Him and be near Him apart from recognizing that He's a rewarder, because that's what He is. That is His nature. If you say that you know Him but you don't grasp that He is a rewarder, you don't know Him yet very well, because that is what He's like. He longs. In the Old Testament, He says, the Lord is a God of justice, and He longs to be gracious to you, but you got to do your part, He said to the Israelites. I would love to be gracious to you, but I can't, because I'm just, and you're not doing anything that would help allow me to bless you. For us, Jesus Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which we can be blessed. We just need to obey and walk in faith. Okay, so He's a rewarder, but He's also a giver. And that's our focus this morning. We have a hope that all that God has promised is ours to receive. And in fact, we've already received it. We have these things. He's blessed us, it's past tense, with every spiritual blessing. As I said, I want to focus on the heart of God this morning in giving us everything that He's got. Everything. Holding nothing back. I think of Abraham's two sons, his first two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. You know, he loved them. He was a kind man. Abraham was a kind man. And God told him he had to send Ishmael away at one point. He was about 13 years old. He had to send him away. And it was hard for him. He loved his boy. But he obeyed God, and he sent Ishmael and Hagar away with blessings. But the inheritance came to one boy, to Isaac. He reserved everything he had for Isaac. And we are those children of promise. God causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains today on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's indiscriminate in this way. But the inheritance, every spiritual blessing, that is only for His sons and daughters. We are the rich ones. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." You are by far the wealthiest people on the planet. Don't let your bank account tell you differently. You know, I got a call this week from my bank, and they've been calling me here and there. I have a business, and they're trying to get me to do some of their hoops with their products and so forth. And I didn't want to take the call. I was busy. And so I said, I'm kind of busy. And he said, well, you might want to hear this. You're overdrawn. What? I manage things pretty carefully. And I was just in disbelief. I thought, okay, well, I told him just move some money over there, cover that. And then I went up and I looked at my computer, and here I had moved money from my business account to my savings account instead of my checking account. And so that's what happens, I guess. God doesn't make those mistakes. Everything you need for spiritual health is yes. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You are the recipient of all the fullness of Christ, as Tim shared last week. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Peace is a spiritual blessing. And God wants you to have all of it that He has. How peaceful is God? He wants you to have it all. And He has blessed you with it all. Perfect peace. Jesus stood and called out in Jerusalem, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. Rivers of living water would describe a limitless flow of spiritual blessings coming out of you, including the inner qualities of love, of joy, peace, patience. You know, patience is the ability to suffer for a long time and to consider that it's worthwhile. That's what patience is. Rivers, rivers of patience are granted to you. Rivers of kindness, rivers of goodness, rivers of gentleness, rivers, rivers of self-control, a limitless supply. You may be picking this up that I've been in the Gospel of John, and I just noticed this time through. In John chapter 6, Jesus had been ministering to a crowd, speaking to them, sharing with them, and it got supper time, and he said, "How are we going to feed them?" And Philip said, "I don't know, we don't have anything." And they found a lad, they swiped his lunch, and they took these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. Jesus blessed them, and he gave them maybe as many as 10,000 people fed from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. A few verses later, he says, "I am the bread of life." What was he saying? I am the loaf. I can give and give and give and give and give, and you can always come back. There will always be more. That's why he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the nourishment that you need. It's a spiritual blessing that you need." He even said there, "Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Will never thirst. He is the source of the rivers of living waters. God has determined to give all that he is to any who will let him have first place in their hearts. John the Baptist testified, I think this was John speaking of Jesus. He said, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." God gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And just as he's given all things into Jesus' hand, so also he's given all things into our hand. Every spiritual blessing. In a coming day, God will give the world to his Son for 1,000 years to reign on. And you and I will reign with him. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Don't you know that the saints will judge the world?" Next verse, he says, "Don't you know that you'll judge angels?" This is a privilege that is a spiritual blessing. And God's given everything he's got to you and me. 1 Corinthians 15 says that we will receive a spiritual body. That is a strange juxtaposition of words, isn't it? Is it spiritual or is it physical? Which is it? No, it's a spiritual body. I think of it like Jesus' body. While he was, when he raised from the dead, he was still recognizable, but he could move from place to place without effort. Spiritual body. Here's how 1 Corinthians 15 puts it. "There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam," that's one of Jesus' titles, "the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy, The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This is a spiritual blessing. This is a sure hope standing in front of a believer. This is your identity. This awaits you in the twinkling of an eye. He has given us every spiritual blessing because his plan from the beginning has not just been to, okay, forgive you. Okay, I forgive you. No. He wanted to bring you into the entire embracement of the new image of you in Christ. That's far more than just a little forgiveness. He wanted you to enjoy his likeness in the Spirit. Our identity as sons and daughters of God is that we are owners of all things that God owns. Not in the sense of idolatry, not in the sense that, you know, this building's mine, that car's out there, they're all mine. Not in that sense, but in the sense that he has given us everything to use to promote his glory. In that sense, it's all ours as it is his. This is the heart of our God. Yeah, we use this building. It's ours to use. We pay a little rent, and it's ours to use to promote his glory. All things that God has are ours. And again, I'm just trying to speak of God's heart towards us. He wants to give you everything that you need. Honestly, if we thought in these terms of having everything that we need, we might consider that we're reigning in life. Oh, wait a minute. We went over that verse, didn't we? Romans 5:17. For as through one man death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He is our federal head who accomplished a way of life that we can embrace, reigning in life from the inside. Rivers flowing from the inside out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." He is the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies. These are spiritual blessings, and he's granted them to us freely. He has held nothing back. You want comfort? You may have it. You want encouragement? You may have it. He is the well that keeps giving and giving and giving every spiritual blessing. To the Philippians, he wrote this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Having a reason to rejoice is a spiritual blessing. And that reason is the living Christ, the risen and living Christ. Forbearance is a spiritual blessing. Being able to hang in there is a spiritual blessing. And we can have that when we understand we're just about done. He'll be back very soon. The writers of the New Testament thought he'd be back very soon. 1 John said, these are the last days, a couple thousand years ago. It really is the last days. Now we can forbear. It is a spiritual blessing. He gives forbearance without measure. He replaces anxiety with peace, and that is a spiritual blessing. God wants to give you as much as you need. How much peace do you need? How much comfort do you need? How much encouragement do you need? These are the real things of life, aren't they? The real things that make life fun. That's what the Gospels say, that Jesus came to give life. Well, I'm alive. No. I mean on the inside, where it really counts. Happiness, satisfaction, completeness. Here's what Romans 15 says. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives perseverance. God gives encouragement. Wants to give you everything he's got. Later on in that chapter, he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a spiritual blessing. Peace is a spiritual blessing. We've covered that one twice already. Hope is a spiritual blessing. God wants you to be filled with it, filled with hope, filled with hope. Constantly thinking about tomorrow will be better than today. Maybe not externally, but in my soul, tomorrow will be better than today. Why? Because God gave me another promise. God spoke to me in another verse. I'm encouraged in a fresh way. I like to think of it this way, that every day there are at least 7 billion things that have changed because there are that many people on earth and they're a day older. Every day is a new chance for God to speak into our souls, to give us the spiritual blessings that amount to life. And so as we close this morning, hopefully you're asking yourself, how can I grab hold of these things? I'm not experiencing this a whole bunch. How can I experience more peace, more hope, more perseverance, more of this inner man, spiritual living waters, rushing waters? How can I experience this? Let's look at just one more passage in, as one little answer to the question of how. This is from Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's a whole nother message, and basically that's next week's message. I want to talk next week about what is this process? How can I move from where I am to a greater degree? If God has given me everything and I'm not experiencing, what's the breakdown? I just want to reveal a process of growth. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the spiritual growth equation. I've done that before. I might do it again. There's a process of how truth interacts with our soul in a way that we can put it into practice, that we can end up obeying and reap. Jesus said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And it'll be somewhat along the lines of the culture that we live in. A culture we live in is very noisy, very, very, very noisy. Our smartphones or dumb phones, either one, they interrupt. And if you have access to internet, most of you do, they can be very interruptive. You know, we just get consumed with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. In Luke 5:16, it says of Jesus that he often withdrew to a lonely place and he prayed. And so we'll look into some of those things next week. You know, part of our job, really, Tim's and my job, is to equip you. To equip you for life. To equip you to be able to experience this. And I hope to share some things that might help us next week. So let's pray here. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you are so giving. Thank you that you've given us every spiritual blessing that you've got. Thank you that you wanted us to be complete in you, like Tim shared last week. So I just ask you this week, as we think on this verse, Ephesians 1:3, that we would either agree with you that you've given us these blessings, or figure out why we disagree with you. Pray you'd mine our hearts, take our spirits, as you say in the Proverbs, our spirit is your lamp, searching out the inmost beings. I pray you'd do that with each of our hearts, absolutely, including mine, this week. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's a hurtful way in us, and lead us in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come next week. This will be really fun. It'll be fun for me anyway. We are going to take our offering at this time. This morning, if you're a visitor this morning, don't feel like we brought you here to give to us. We wanted to be a blessing to you.